Please welcome Dean Thompson.
So it's all-star break right now. Giants are four games out of first place. And I know there's probably a few people sitting out there thinking to themselves, so what? I don't really care. Okay. Well, I do. I'm a sports fan. I've been a sports fan for quite some time. I like baseball. I like watching baseball. Actually, I like listening to baseball because it's a game made for the radio. It's wonderful to listen to. I'll watch an occasional hockey game. Love football. I'll watch horse racing. I love any kind of racing, actually. I'll even watch NASCAR once in a while. Don't watch golf. Not that into that. I'll play golf, okay? But I think the sport that I've been most emotionally involved with and I kind of follow the most is basketball, okay? And go figure, right? And I like the NCAA. I like the Final Four. I like the tournament. But for professional basketball, it's all about the Lakers for me. And I've been a Laker fan for many, many years. I was born in Inglewood and lived in Gardena. And I remember my dad letting me go up on the roof of my house in Gardena. And I remember looking off into the distance. He's like, right over there. See, that's the Forum. It's like, oh, that's where Wilt Chamberlain plays. That's where Jerry West plays. When I was in sixth grade, I had to do a report on a famous person. So I did my report on Wilt Chamberlain. So I've been a Laker fan for many, many years. And I think the year, the calendar year that I remember the most memorable year for me as a Laker fan was probably the calendar year stretching from May or June of 1984 to June of 85, okay? And that was the Laker team of the mid-80s. And this was the teams led by Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Pat Riley was with his impeccable suits. And it was just fast break basketball. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, the other team would shoot the ball, and it's like Rambus with the rebound, outlet to Magic. Magic dribble dive down the court, over to Scott, back to Worthy. Slam dunk. I mean, it was just fast-paced basketball. It was so fun to watch. And then it's, you know, happening in the Forum in the mid-80s, and you've got the Laker girls and Dancing Larry, and you've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with his legendary sky hook, and Jack Nicholson sitting at courtside, Diane Cannon, Michael Cooper playing defense. It was just LA mid-80s. It was the place to be. Now, in 1984, the Lakers had one of the best records in the league. The best record, however, fell to the Boston Celtics. And they had home court advantage throughout the playoffs. And the Lakers and the Celtics met in the finals that year. And the Celtics had beaten the Lakers before six straight times before the Lakers met them in 1984. The Lakers had never beaten the Celtics in the finals. But this year, Laker fans, we knew it was going to be different because the Lakers, they were good. They were amazing that year. They were so fantastic. And game one of that seven-game series, the Lakers came out and smoked the Celtics. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. They just devastated, and it was a clinic of fast-break basketball. Second game, they met, and Lakers, again, doing really well, but the Celtics are tough. They had the best record in the league, and they hung in tight, and it was really close towards the end. It looked like the Lakers were going to win, and then James Worthy threw a bad pass, and Gerald Henderson stole the ball, scored, tied the game, went into overtime, and the Lakers ended up losing. I mean, they could have taken two in Boston Garden, but they lost one. They got the split. That was okay. Now it was back to the Forum. Back to L.A., back to the Forum Club, and they came out in game three and just smoked the Celtics again. They just fast break basketball. It was a beautiful thing to watch. After the game, Larry Bird called out all his teammates and said, "You guys played like a bunch of sissies." So game four comes up. Lakers come out again. They're just running and dunking, and then it happened. Damn Kevin McHale. Kurt Rambis going up for a layup, and Kevin McHale takes his arm and clotheslines Kurt Rambis. It wasn't a basketball move. It was a thuggish move. Slams him to the hardwood. Bench is clear. Brawl. They restore order. The game continues, but players on both sides both agree that that was a turning point in the series, and the Celtics got in the Lakers' head, and they intimidated them, and the Lakers lost that game in overtime. They managed to get another win, and they managed to push it to seven games, and they lost again in overtime, but it finally fell to a seventh game in Boston Garden, a sweltering Boston Garden with no air conditioning, and in there with ML Carr waving his stupid towel around, and mouthy Danny Ainge and Larry Bird with his amazing shots, and the obnoxious Boston fans saying, beat LA, beat LA, beat LA, and they did. And it was humiliating. It was devastating. I mean, we had followed these players all year. We knew their names. We knew their strengths. We knew their weaknesses. We suffered through their losing streaks. We rejoiced when they won. We followed them. They made it through the playoffs. They got to the finals. They got to game seven with their nemesis, and they lost. It was heartbreaking. Now, I know some of you are like, Dean, it's just a game. It's decades ago. I know that. That doesn't make it any better. It doesn't make it any easier. I mean, what is it about sports? What is it about sports that people get so emotionally involved? People come from all walks of life, all around to one stadium, to one arena. They all get together, and it doesn't matter who you are, black, white, brown, liberal, conservative, gay, straight. It doesn't matter. We're all on the same team. This is our tribe. We like the colors. We like the mascot. We're rooting for them. We're cheering for them. We're anguishing at the bad calls. We're rejoicing when they win, And when you're watching sports and it's your team, it's like a full-body experience. Your heart rate speeds up. You start getting anxious. And sometimes there's been games when I'm watching my team, I can't be around other people. I go home and I watch it on TV. And I can't sit there. I got to start cleaning things. I'm cleaning. I don't know what it is. It's weird. So anyway, November 1984, new basketball season starts up. Lakers. They want revenge. We're going through the season, goes through the winter, going into springtime. It looks like it's going to be the Lakers and the Celtics again, both the cream of the crop. Now, come spring of 1985, I'm living out of my van in the parking lot of Morro Rock. Don't ask. It's a totally different story, all right? But let's just say I was living there watching Falcons, okay? And so I would sometimes I go to my friend's house, and I would watch the games on TV when I do laundry or take a shower at their place, but most of the time I listen to the game on the radio, sitting there in my van or lying in my bed in the van or sitting outside listening to the foghorn drone and the shorebirds call and listening to the radio and the game on the radio. Now, basketball isn't really a game made for radio unless you have a good announcer. And the Lakers had an amazing announcer in Chick Hearn. Chick Hearn was amazing. His mile-a-minute commentary, or what he called his words-eye view of the action, just made the game come alive. I mean, he had all sorts of chickisms that he came up with, just these terms that he came up with. And a lot of these terms ended up being terms used in basketball today. Terms like slam dunk, air ball, triple double, dribble drive, ticky-tack foul. These are all things that Chick Hearn invented in his lexicon. He had other ones too, like when somebody would shoot and the ball would go in, oh, in and out, heartbreak, go. Or, you know, you'd fake somebody, oh, put him in the popcorn machine, butter and salt all over him, okay? Or he'd throw the ball, oh, mustard's off the hot dog, look out. But the chickism all Laker fans wanted to hear was when Chick put the game in the refrigerator. When the game was done and he figured the Lakers were going to win, he said, this game's in the refrigerator. The door's closed, the lights are out, the butter's getting hard, the eggs are cooling, and that jello is jiggling. And when he did that, Lakers were going to win. And rarely did a game ever come out of the refrigerator when Chick put it in the refrigerator. So, finals happen, and yes, it ends up being Lakers and Celtics again. Magic and Larry, McHale and Worthy, Parrish and Kareem, Ainge and Scott, Casey Jones, Pat Riley, Lakers and Celtics. Here we go. And Laker fans, we know, man. We went through it. It's gonna happen. We're gonna get them this time. We're gonna get them this time. And so game one happens in Boston Garden. They had home court advantage again. And the Lakers get destroyed. They called it the Memorial Day Massacre. The Lakers were down by 30 points in the first quarter. They ended up losing the game by 34 points. It was a horrible game. We're like, what happened? But during that game, Kareem looked old and feeble. He looked overmatched. And everybody was like, okay, Kareem, he's done. He's done. He's just too old. He can't do it. Well, 38-year-old Kareem Abdul-Jabbar came out in game two and had a masterful game. An amazing game. After the game was over, he had his twainish reply was, the rumors of my death were greatly exaggerated. Game four happens. They're back in L.A. And this time it's a 2-3-2 format. So three games in L.A. The Lakers could close it out technically in L.A. So game three happens and the Lakers come out. And James Worthy is amazing. He wins that game. But the Celtics bounce back, win game four. Lakers win game five. But now the last two games are back in Boston Garden with that stupid parquet floor. And Emil Carr and his towel. And the leprechauns on the rim and the banners in the rafters. And nobody wants it to go to a game seven. We don't want a game seven because you don't know what's going to happen. They got to win a game six. They got to take it. And so I'm sitting outside my van on a Sunday afternoon listening to the game with Chick Hearn on the radio, watching the Falcons. And I get about halfway through the first quarter, and I'm like, screw it. I'm going to watch this game. And so I packed up my van, and I drove into Morro Bay, and I went over to the Harbor Hut, and I went into the bar, and I got myself a beer, and I sat there, and I watched the TV, and I watched the Lakers, and I was surrounded by strangers who were my best friends. And we watched the Lakers go to victory, and we high-fived each other, and we hugged each other, and the joy was just, when the Lakers won that championship, the joy was just unbelievable. And I know there's people going, you sports fans are so silly. You are so silly. Well, that may be, okay? But silly is entertaining. And I don't know, maybe there's something that you non-sports fans have, something that gets you emotionally involved. Maybe there's something that gets your juices flowing and you get emotionally involved with it. And if there isn't, well, I feel kind of sorry for you because you don't know what you're missing.